And God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he was not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, we are celebrating one of the greatest and complex mysteries of our faith, the Most Holy Trinity, the one true God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together make up one God, and not three gods. This is what makes the mystery of the Trinity complex. Whatever the case, it is the reality which we have to believe. The three biblical passages we read today aid our reflection on the nature of the Trinity. The first reading tells us that the biblical God is quite different from the gods of the pagans or the God worshipped by people of other religions. The triune God of ours does not become angry, does not punish us, and is not spying on us. The second reading concludes with a Trinitarian greeting and blessing, with which we normally begin the celebration of Mass. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is how we sometimes begin our Mass. It is a greeting which the Apostle Paul used to greet people. And it is a blessing which alludes to the nature of the Trinitarian persons. The Gospel, on the other hand, speaks of the roles of the first two persons of the Trinity. We heard the evangelist John saying, "The Father so loved the world that he sent his only Son to redeem us." Nevertheless, these readings do not clarify the mystery of the Trinity. The mystery remains complex, and yet we are required to believe it. Why do we believe in this complex reality? We believe it because it was revealed to us by Jesus, who is God, the second person of the Trinity. And God, according to the teachings of the Church, can neither deceive nor be deceived, as we read from Dei Filius, chapter 3, article 3008. Our Lord Jesus revealed to us this mystery in his own words, as quoted by St. John. "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And so I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all the truth. So this was Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, promising to us that God the Father and the first person of the Trinity will give us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to guide us into all the truth. In the Trinity, no person is superior to the other. They are all equal in dignity and rank. And Jesus clarifies this when he says, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." This we read from the Gospel of John. Also, when Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied," Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" So, my dear friends, Jesus is the perfect manifestation of the Trinitarian persons. It suffices to see Jesus alone and get to know the other two persons. But what is fascinating in the mystery of the Trinity is their undivided unity and mutual cooperation in the work of creation and salvation. God the Father is the Creator, God the Son is the Savior, and God the Holy Spirit is the vivifier and sanctifier. The word vivifier comes from Latin, vivere, meaning to live. You'll hear people say, "Viva so and so," meaning live long. So the Holy Spirit is the vivifier, is the life giver, is the one who gives us the different gifts which we need to help each other, as we heard from last Sunday when we are celebrating the Pentecost. The three are united in an inseparable unity, and this unity is reinforced by love. We strongly believe in this mystery, and we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We begin and conclude each and every prayer, including this Mass, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we renew this belief every time we recite the Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life," and so on. This is all we can say about this mystery. We cannot comprehend it further. It is so complex. There is no theologian whatsoever who will pretend to explain this mystery in its entirety. But we believe it because, as I said, it was revealed to us by God himself through the second person of the Trinity. Now, what can we learn from this mystery? It is the undividedness of the unity of the three persons of the Trinity, which is sustained by the bonds of love. This is the most important thing which we have to learn. Their unity, which is characterized by love. Today we live in large societies that are heterogeneous or plural in their composition. The lines of plurality may be drawn along one or several factors, such as race, religion, class, language, nationality, to name but a few examples. No matter the plurality, we need to look at each other as brothers and sisters, because we all share the same Father who art in heaven. And one day, we shall all be united around him in the eternal bliss. Saint John, in his revelation, saw this enormous crowd united in heaven around the Most Holy Trinity. And he wrote, "After this, I looked, and there was an enormous crowd. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood in front of the throne of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." This we read from the book of Revelation. So in order that we may finally join this enormous crowd in heaven, it is important that we start to live in unity with our brothers and sisters in this life, here and now. The unity which is reinforced by the cords of love. This unity which is firmly grounded in love should stem from right from our families and advance to the societal and finally to the national and international levels. Let no one feel inferior to others, and let no one feel superior to others. In Psalm 133, David exclaims, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is